Good evening, church. I would like to begin by saying thank you to the elders for letting the young men of this congregation have the opportunity to come up and lead us in service tonight. It is wonderful, not just for me, but I believe for every young man here, to be able to see that the church has more men that are willing to step up and that are willing to serve God in his likeness and in ways that are pleasing to him. So from all the young men, I would just like to say thank you. When we were kids, we started knowing our light, our spiritual light, with the VBS song, This Little Light of Mine. I think we all know how that goes. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. But as we grow older, that innocent and pure light that we once had, it changes. It starts to experience trials and tribulations that it hasn't before dealt with. And it starts to dim. It starts to flicker. That light goes through challenges. This little light of mine, I can't seem to make it shine. This little light of mine slowly burned out over time. This little light of mine lost its flame inside of mine. This little light of mine, it's no longer mine. These might just be lyrics to a song, but they have a profound impact on all of us because we all know that these are challenges that we have faced that are detrimental to our light. So I want to start off with our first point tonight. This little light of mine, I can't seem to make it shine. There are many factors that are going to cause us to maybe not want to follow Jesus, that are going to hold us back from Jesus, and it holds the world back too. And we have to realize that this carnal way of thinking, the secular world, the devil, everything is trying to hold us back from Jesus, but we have to resist, because following Jesus is important to that light being able to shine. Please turn with me to John chapter 12, verses 42 through 43. John chapter 12, verses 42 through 43. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Even the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the time, who were men who proclaimed to seek out God's own heart, even they did not follow the signs that Jesus was there. Jesus was performing miracles, fulfilling prophecies from prophets in the Old Testament. And the Pharisees knew this. They had the Torah right in front of them that explained all of these prophecies that Jesus was fulfilling. And yet, because they wanted men to see them, they wanted men to know them, they wanted power and influence over everybody else, they did not listen. In Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 through 22, we see a well-known parable, the parable of the rich young ruler. Now behold, one came and said to him, "Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" So he said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that which is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments," he said to him. "Which ones?" Jesus said. "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "All these things I have kept in my youth, I've kept from my youth. What do I still lack?" Jesus said to him, "If you want to be perfect, go. Sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Even this young man, who had been following God's commandments, knew what God wanted him to do and had been doing it since childhood, the thought of losing his money, his influence, and his worldly possessions turned him away from Christ. His light for Christ went out because he just couldn't give up his possessions A lot of the time, people do not turn to Jesus because they see God as giving them trials and tribulations intentionally, making them suffer, making them go through pain. We see that God hasn't given up on them, that God isn't trying to hurt them. In James chapter 1, in verses 13 through 14, let no one say when he is tempted, "I am tempted by God." For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. God isn't trying to harm you. God isn't trying to make your light dim. He isn't trying to hurt you. The only thing that is hurting you is the world and yourself. God doesn't want you to face these trials and stumble in your faith. God wants you to be strong. The only thing that makes your faith weak is yourself. Man likes to create God in his own image. And a lot of the times, this has caused many others to stumble in their faith because they put their light, their spiritual light, in the wrong ideologies, in the wrong God that has been created by man. In Romans chapter 1, verses 22 through 23, professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. These people, they're changing who God is in the mind of the public so that they have power, so that they have influence, because they want to be seen as top dog by the world. They want to be seen as wise. They want people to look up to them and say, wow, they know what they're thinking, but they're not. And this is supported by 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 18 through 23. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 18 through 23. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, but they are futile. Therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos, or Cephas or the world, or life or death, or things present or things to come, all are yours, and you are Christ, and Christ is God's. We see men wanting to be wise by the world, but they're not wise. They're foolish in God's eyes because they follow worldly ideologies and not God's, what God has told them, what God has laid out for them. They follow their own hearts and their own worldly desires. My second point. This little light of mine slowly burned out over time. Many times we have seen those who will come to Christ, who will come to the church eager for God's word. They want to know God, but then they fall away. They fall away and we don't see them again. They don't come to church that much. And it's sad to see because their light starts to go out. It starts to become dim. Some will come to Christ with open arms. They'll love him. They want to embrace him and his word. They want to follow it. But then the world will pull them away. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, we see this being predicted. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Even the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, God knows that people will fall away because they will follow the doctrines of the world. They won't follow what God says because they see it as tough. They see it as other than what they want to do. But God tells us what he wants to do in the Bible. But people don't want to follow. They want to follow their own hearts. In Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 through 15, beware, brethren, Lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Do not close off your hearts and your minds to God's word. Let God control you. Let his word rule your life. Because if you live a spiritual and godly life and you love him, he will accept you. He will embrace you. And falling away, that's leaving him. That's leaving his love and his grace. But even if we do fall away, we can come back. If we're washed in the blood, we can come back and God will forgive us if we have the right heart, if we have the right mind. If we believe he is the Son of God and we truly, truly ask for repentance and we confess our sins, he will forgive us. Maybe sometimes this light, it doesn't fade out. Maybe it burns so bright, people turn to more than the Bible. The Bible has what we have, but they want more. They want to know more. Because people, they're always searching for more in life. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Many will turn away from God's word, the true word, because they want more. They want things that apply to them, that they like, instead of the harsh reality that is what God tells us to follow. They just want to have fun. They want to live a life that they want to enjoy. And that's what the world has promoted too. YOLO, you only live one life? That's not true. You live an eternal life too. So let's act like we do live an eternal life. Maybe some doubt Christ. They doubt his word, and they fall away because their spiritual compass starts to point them in the wrong direction. Their hearts search for more, and they start to doubt, and they start to leave him. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 2 and 3, and when John had heard them in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, are you the coming one, or do we look for another? Even John the Baptist, the man who had paved the way for Jesus, he doubted him. He doubted him, and he did not believe when he was in prison that harshness that the Roman soldiers were treating him with. He had his doubts about Jesus, the man who was prophesied to be the Christ. He knew to be the Christ. He had doubts about that. In James chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, but let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Doubting can cause you to be unstable in your faith. It will cause you to turn away. It can cause you to seek what is not godly. Oh, I just realized I just skipped a bunch. Okay. The secular world, it will entice you to turn against God. It will entice you to turn away into sin. The lust of the flesh, it will entice you to leave him. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 17, we read, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Worldly things, worldly possessions, they are limited, they are finite. But our souls are eternal. This body that we have, it's dust, and it will return to dust. But our souls will be judged. We will be judged for our actions. And after Judgment Day, we can either spend eternity with God in heaven, or we can go to hell. And it's decided on how your light yearned for God, what you did, the actions that you had that led you to be more like God. In Matthew chapter 26, verses 14 through 16, one of the greatest betrayals known in history. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you?" And they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver. So from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. Even Jesus' brotherhood, one of his brotherhood, Judas, one of the 12 that he named an apostle, left to be worldly. He got enticed by the world, by money, by carnal things. And it caused him to stumble. It caused him to betray Jesus. And Jesus ended up being put on the cross due to that. And that is your flame being more, your spiritual flame being more guided towards what you want and not what God wants. This little light of mine, it's no longer mine. And I know the last couple points that I've made were more kind of about challenges, about stumbling, about issues that we faced. So instead of being negative, I want to bring up a positive point. I want to end this lesson off, and this year, because this is the last lesson of the year, I want to end it off on a positive note. This little light of mine, it's no longer mine because it's God's. Giving your life up to the Lord will make your light shine bright. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 39, "He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it." Those who search inwardly for their own passions, they will lose their life, and they will face eternal damnation. But those who search for God, those who love God and seek him out, they will find life. They will find eternal life. Letting your light shine for the Lord and following his commands, it will show that your light isn't guided on yourself, but it's guided on God. This is seen in James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. "Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." Submit to God. Submit to what he tells you to do. Submit to his commands. Draw near to him, and he will draw near to you. God loves you. God wants you to be with him. God wants your spiritual flame for him to shine bright. One of the ways to do that is being apologetic for your transgressions against God. We all have sinned. We all have stumbled in our faith. But be repentful. Repent. Confess of those sins. Because we know we have transgressed against God. Let that be known. Galatians chapter 5, verses 24 through 26. "And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another." Turn to Christ. Put down the old man of sin. Turn to Jesus, because Jesus loves you. Jesus wants you. In Romans chapter 6, verse 22, "But now, having been set free from sin, and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness, and in the end, everlasting life." How do we be free from sin? Repent, confess, be baptized for the remission of your sins. Being sinless and pure and perfect is the way to heaven, following God's commands in his own heart. One of the most famous series of baptisms in the Bible, the day of Pentecost. Please turn with me to Acts chapter 2, verses 36 through 41. Acts chapter 2, verses 36 through 41. "Therefore, Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both the Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord God, our God will call. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, Be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. The ones who put Jesus on the cross, who crucified him, even they had a light for God. They had a spiritual flame. And they knew what they did was wrong. And they repented and confessed and asked, What shall we do? And they were baptized. They were made pure. They were made clean. And we can too today. God said, This rule of baptism, who shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit for the remission of your sins, to all who are far off. That applies to us today. We have the chance here today to be baptized. In Mark chapter 16, verse 16, those who believe and are baptized will have eternal life, but those who do not believe will face eternal damnation. Believe, be baptized. Let the Lord control your life. Let that light shine bright. In Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in a newness of life. Let us live a new life. Let us live one that is free of sin and that is pure and that is godly. Yes, we will stumble. Yes, we will sin from time to time. But let us ask for forgiveness. Let us show that our flame burns bright. In Galatians 5, 16 and 17, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Walk with God. Listen to his word. Be baptized. Know him. Follow him. Do what he commands. He loves you. And he wants you. If there's anybody here tonight that needs to be baptized, who has their spiritual flame burning bright, the water's open, please come. Or if you just need the prayers of the church because your light has flickered, you have stumbled, please come. We will pray for you as together we stand and as we sing. Please come.